Real Estate Coaching Radio, America's number one trusted resource for realtors who demand authentic, real-time coaching. Starring award-winning real estate coaches Tim and Julie Harris. Get ready for unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what is truly working to get you into action and make you money in this new real estate boom. Now to our hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
We're joined today by Joe McCaleb. Joe first entered the real estate world as a property manager, later becoming a leasing agent for luxury apartments and then district manager for Mickelson Realty. His ability to manage over $193 million in real estate investment trusts came in handy later when he spent 7 years as an executive pastor overseeing financials, operations, facilities, and church staff. Always wanting to be an agent, he finally got his license in June 2014. After a slow start as a part-time agent, only closing two deals in the first 7 months of 2015, he joined coaching in August. Within 60 days, he quit his full-time job and is on track to close 50 deals in his first full year of real estate. When he's not selling real estate, Joe likes to sing and play the guitar. He enjoys camping and hiking, as well as on the water with his paddleboard and kayak. Living in Texas, he's a diehard fan of the Dallas Cowboys, Dallas Mavericks, and the Texas Rangers. Now, let's welcome Joe to the call as we join our host, Tim Harris.
So, Joe, it's always nice to have a fellow Texan on the call. Of course, I'm a married-in Texan. You know, we moved here, whereas you're a Texan. So, you know, we were talking a little bit about Texas part of the show today. Texas definitely does have a unique flavor. Any of our listeners who've never been to Texas, all the rumors you've heard are probably true. So I'm just letting you guys know that. So, Joe, yeah, welcome to today's show, and thank you for being my co-host.
Hey, I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for having me.
So I was reading Gina, you know, our producer. She did a lot of work on what to talk about on today's show. And I was kind of going through the questions and kind of thinking about what order to kind of present, because you're a laid-back, you know, Texas gentleman type guy, and you're not a, you know, you're humble. And but at the same time, it's people like you that are the heart of the industry. And here's what I mean by that. There's so many people that are listening right now. You know, we have 135,000 listeners in this month, I think, something like that.
Wow.
Not to make you nervous. So many of them are just like you. They're people that basically are wanting to decide whether they want to, you know, jump in with 2 feet or whether they just want to continue to dip a toe in. And the mindset of deciding, and listeners, please hear what I'm saying. Please, please, please internalize what I'm saying. The mindset of deciding that real estate is your career versus it just having to be something you dip your toes in makes all the difference in the world. And, Joe, nothing more proves that than your production this year. So what kept you from going jumping in with 2 feet? What prevented you from making that leap for so long?
You know, I'll be just super honest and real. Since I was 20 and I'm now 38, so 18 years ago, I felt the first passion and desire to get into real estate. I don't know why. I just love the negotiating and the results that you can feel tangibly when you're helping somebody, and especially with one of their biggest investments they'll ever have in their life. But for 20 years, jumping into it thinking, oh my goodness, this is going to be, I've got a family to provide for. I'm married. I've got my first child on the way. I need a steady paycheck, I need benefits, all those things. And honestly, fear just overcame me for that long, unfortunately. But now I just got to the point in my life through life experiences that I said I'm not going to look back and I don't want to live with any regrets. So I just decided to go head first.
Well, so that epiphany or whatever you want to call it that you experienced where you decided you're going to do it, those types of pivotal mindset shifts happen all throughout our lives, right? It's not just your decision to get into real estate, but now it was your decision to decide to get into real estate and take it seriously and make it your career. I shouldn't assume that you've decided that this is going to be your career, so I'll ask that question. Is this your career or are you just passing through?
No, this is definitely a career, and I market that, you know, with all of my clients that I want to be your lifelong realtor. I've had a passion for it for as long as I have. and having the success I've had early on going into it full time for now just my first full year, it's something I look forward to doing for forever. And the reason I say that even is I ran into another agent on the other side just last week, and she was 86 years old, still going strong, still able to do it and loving it, and that's what I look forward to.
Well, so what is the difference in mindset between somebody who, say, you know, even someone who considers themselves full-time but doesn't act like it's their career versus someone like you who acts like it, who has it as their career? What is the difference? Like, is it a different way of thinking, behaving, or all of the above?
Oh, definitely, you know, all of the above. My first call with Harris Real Estate University when I came on, you know, they were going through this pie chart and telling me the six different steps of really being a successful agent. And these were things that I had never really sat down and thought about. And once then, as soon as I hit that, I knew it was a mindset, that because one of the top things is mindset, an unwavering desire, doing what you guys always preach, doing what you don't want to do. You help me out there with that, but doing what you don't want to do.
I'm not
going to
help
you
out. You got to remember it. You've heard it so many times. I'm not helping you out.
But
you know what to say.
When you're sitting there and you don't want to do it, you know,
no,
you got to
do it
anyway.
Joe. You go back, Joe. You say it right. Doing what you don't want to do when?
When you least want to do it.
At the
moment you least want to do it. Is that right?
No, come on. Doing what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it at the highest level. I mean, that's
there
really
the
bottom
the
line,
level.
Right?
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
I mean, that's,
is.
Isn't that most of the things in real estate, really, at the end of the day? In order to do them, you don't necessarily want to do them? Yeah. Good.
Yeah, but you have
all
to
right.
do it with the mindset and the unwavering desire that if you do it and push through that, then you're going to be successful in all you do. So.
Well, it's true, though, isn't it? Was that a mindset you've always had, or is that something that basically you came to realize?
It's a mindset I've had in my career early on through property management and through other jobs I've had out in the career field. But it was never one that I had strong enough about real estate to say I could do it on my own until I got into it and started learning from the best coach in the world, Rochelle, that you can do it. And once you get your mindset right, then there's no looking back.
So what is, for example, like looking back now between, you know, you sold, you're on track to sell something like 50 units this year, is that correct? 50 houses?
Yes.
Okay, and this is your first full year in the business as a residential realtor?
Correct.
Am I reading that correctly?
In September of 2015 is when I started I jumped in head first.
Okay, so selling 50 houses in your first full year of real estate is phenomenally successful. Congratulations. What
Thank
types
you.
Of, like, so let's talk, let's make this a real meat and potatoes thing for a bit and let these guys know how you did it. Mm-hmm. So how did you do it? Where are you, where are you going after for business? Talk about, like, for example, if you could only have three lead generation sources, what would they be? What are your top three sources of business?
My top three are my center of influence. I have a huge center of influence just from my connections and networking over the years. I've made that mm-hmm. a number one priority. Investors have been my biggest success so far, just with knowledge of helping people that want to make an investment, and it's a great opportunity to do it. And about 50% of my clients are investors, so that's number two. And then third is expireds, because there's always inventory. There's always people. There's always a paycheck, you know, out there waiting if you just go and get it. And so those are my three biggest.
All right, so never good enough on the radio show just to rattle off three things like that. I always make people drill down. So when you say you're working your centers of influence, past clients, I'm going to ask you some specific questions so these guys can get the most value out of today's show. So
sure.
You do have, obviously, an organized list, correct?
I do.
How many
have
people are on your list?
Right now I've got about 320. I'm working on getting that bigger.
Okay.
But those are people that I continually call. So I make minimum of 10 calls a day just to my center of influence. And these type
okay,
of calls,
stop,
they rotate.
Stop. Well, Joe, okay, good. You're about to say it, sorry. So what are you saying on these calls? You're making 10? Now, are you making 10 calls per day? Listeners, listen. Pay attention. Are you making 10 contacts per day?
10 calls. I learned early on. Through your guest coaching, no texting, no emailing, make the call. Pick up the phone and make the call because it's more personal. People mm-hmm. can read your emotion and really what your genuineness about it through it is. And I don't call to say, hey, you guys ready to sell? Been waiting on you for 8 months. No, I'm just basically picking up the phone and calling them and saying, hey, how are you doing today? I hope you're doing well. And then we'll eventually get into real estate, but it'll be a soft approach. It won't be the very first thing that we talk about, and it just keeps me in front of them.
And guys, listeners, one of the nice, easy ways you can end the calls are like, and we have a whole series of scripts about calling centers of influence and past clients, and we absolutely positively want you guys to taking a laid-back approach when you're calling the sellers, most and calling your past clients, because if you take any other kind of approach, you're just going to offend them. It's just unnatural. So when you're calling them, always bring something of value. Again, this is part of the coaching program, but always end every call, and this is the script. Hey, by the way, if you come across anybody who's thinking about buying or selling, that you think I might be able to help, I appreciate if you'd think of me. And you say something like that, and you a version of that in your own language, you say it every single time. You know, won't take very many of those contacts for them to start actually having leads ready for you in anticipation of your call. Now, you're calling everyone in your list every month, every other month. How frequently are you calling them?
I try to go through my list at least once every other month. It is pretty large. If I get, there's days where I have to do more than just 10 to get through my list. But and I don't just phone call. I'll email in between and do different touches like that. But depending upon different seasons. But I'm trying to get through my list at least once every other month. So at least they're getting hit two or three times a year.
When did you start working your centers of influence and past clients? When did this actually become, your number one source of business?
It didn't start until I became a student of Harris Real Estate University, so back in September and October
September.
Of last year.
Yeah, so here's the cool thing. Here's what I'm hearing you say, Joe. You basically are going to do around 50 units this year, and you're saying that picking up the phone, making those contacts, of which you've only been doing religiously for less than a year, has resulted in 50 transactions in the first 12 months. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Oh, that's exactly it, because that's where your referrals come from. That's where that's where a lot of my investor connections have come from, and so you're exactly right.
So, guys, none of you have an excuse. There it is. That's pretty straightforward. Now, you are from the town in which you're selling real estate. You've lived here for a while, correct?
I have, yes. That's it. It's the town I graduated high school from.
Good. So that is an advantage, especially when you're working, when centers of influence and past clients are such a strong spoke. But you do still have to, as you said, expand your list beyond just that initial 300 and some. How are you doing that? How are you expanding to the people that don't know you?
You know, another area of that's become this successful for us, and it's only through coaching. I would have never done this on my own. But is expireds. So working through Mojo, and also we take it to a different level as well, and we go and door knock so we can try and get face-to-face with those expired clients that have had their house ready for sale before, and for whatever reason it didn't. Well, let's find out why, and are you still ready to sell? And if so, then let's find a way to make it happen. And so expireds have been another huge area for us to generate some traffic.
What's going on in your market right now? What are you seeing as far as, like, just general market malaise? Things still selling like hotcakes, or a little bit of both?
A little bit of both. Over the last 3 weeks is where I've seen the biggest difference, just because, here in North Texas, you put, with all the growth and expansion of major companies coming here, you put a house on the market anywhere in North Texas and it's going to sell within a day, multiple offers. But over the last 2 or 3 weeks with recent listings, things are starting to kind of slowly change. Our expired list is growing, which shows that there's a shift in the market from what you guys have mentioned nationwide. And it's finally starting to happen here a little bit. So it gives us a little bit more to work with on the expired side as well.
Well, so listeners and Joe and everyone else in between, this is the perfect time of year to be going after the expireds. Well, any time of the year is the perfect time of year to go after expireds. That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, as we go into fourth quarter, it's always, when Jules and I sold real estate, long ago, it was always the best time. And the reasons are simple. You have a lot of first of all, an expired listing is great because they've already proven their willingness to list a house and pay a commission. And they've already been market tested. In other words, they're not going to have such a lofty opinion of value. So they're a little bit market worn, which is perfect. And I'm going to caution you guys on that. Be careful that you don't have the opinion that an expired listing is like a rotten apple. That is not true. Normally what happens and the reason the listing expires is because it's just a little bit overpriced, 3-5%. But the biggest reason that it expired is because basically it's been on the market too long and it lost all of its momentum after 45 or 60 days. You guys know when you put something for sale, generally speaking, you get your best market activity right out of the gates. Well, guess what happens is that if the house was a little bit overpriced, it missed the market, now it's expiring. So you go in there and you list it as an expired, you get it priced correctly, and oftentimes just from the very fact that it's a new price and a new MLS number, the thing will sell immediately. And if you've never experienced that before, you'll almost feel guilty because here's a listing that some other poor agent wasn't able to sell for 6 months, and you sell it in a week. But that's the type of thing that happens this time of year. So number one opportunity this year with expired is all the spring listings that didn't get sold, of which there's going to be a lot. Don't forget the builders. Then you have the other fact, the simply fact that most agents aren't in the business. They might not consider themselves out of the business, but they don't show up to office meetings. They don't prospect. They're not lead generating. They're backing off usually about the end of this month, into next month. They're done. They're coming back in the spring. So your actual competitors drops like a rock. And the next reason is because there's less competition, there's more expireds, and we also have a lot of holidays. Now, holidays are an awesome time to go after expireds because most of our holidays, guys, fall over the change of months. This is kind of complicated, but pay attention. Now, you seasoned expired hunters who are getting mad at me for sharing this secret, well, just forgive me. Okay? Mm-hmm. So when you have a holiday weekend, like October 31st, like, you know, Thanksgiving week, like Christmas week, like whatever, the most number of expireds happen on the last day of the month and the first day of the month, or thereabouts. So if you have a holiday that falls over that time, last day, first day, most number of expireds, and the fact that everyone's going to be home to answer the phone because of the fact that they're not working that particular day or week, that is an absolute golden time to go after expireds. The listings and the contacts and the relationships you guys make now give you momentum going into next year. So, Joe, hopefully I had to go in coaching mode there so everyone can know what an opportunity. Yeah, well, expireds are, like, fantastic. I love expireds.
They are. And I have a really cool story. I'll keep it short, but just probably about 75-80 days ago, I went on a listing appointment, and just as everyone, I felt so confident coming out of it because I most likely I'm taking it when I leave. The guy had he was kind enough to call me back and let me know he went with a bigger brand. I work for a private broker, not real big name, and so he thought that agent would be able to share within his office and get the listing and get it sold quicker. And he only signed a 90-day listing agreement. And now it's coming to an end. He calls me back and says, Joe, I haven't sold this thing. You're the guy that in my gut I knew I should have went with in the first place. You know, can you come back and get this thing sold for me? And so that was it was about to happen to be an expired in this hot market. And I looked at it, and it happened to be because they were priced too high. They went higher than what I had told them to go in, and he mentioned that. And now it's knocking at my door again, and I got an opportunity. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it's great. Congratulations. And guess what? You keep your momentum. You keep doing what you're doing every day, and you're going to start having more opportunities like that happen. It's not rocket science. Remember, doing what you don't want to do when you don't want to do it at the highest level. Do you keep a schedule? Do you have, like, a time block schedule?
I do. I try my best. It's not every day that I'm consistent with it, but the mornings I wake up, the very first thing I do is I kind of sit down and I try my best to have a media-free morning because it's so easy to see all your notifications on Instagram and Facebook and want to get involved in that. But I try and keep that to the side for at least the first hour and get my day organized and set and written down and organized so at least I have some projection of what I'm going to do today, what I need to accomplish. And so I try and keep all of my administrative duties in the mornings and my appointments for the afternoons and evenings, and that seems to work really well for me.
So as far as priorities every single day, if you only have, like, say, for example, from opportunity work from 8 till, say, noon, what are the things you're going to prioritize? What are the things that are going to get done?
The biggest things are seeing what new expireds are out there, if any, and making contact with those, whether I'm door knocking or making a phone call. If I've got open paperwork documents that need to be done that's in escrow, making sure those things are taken care of. But the biggest thing I try and focus on is setting appointments in the mornings, no matter what I'm doing. And if it comes down to not getting a certain thing done here and there, I try to make lead generation the last that gets checked off till I can't get to. And keep that as a priority because when I don't see my calendar full for the next few days for appointments, then it really drives me crazy. And I know that I can't continue to reach my goals without that. So the mornings are free of distraction mostly, and so that's when I try and set those appointments and keep that going.
How important is furiously fast lead follow-up to your business? How much of a difference is it? Yeah, I mean, it's like huge, right? So how important has that been to your success?
Oh, tremendously huge. We just really started implementing the 1-800 home hotline on our listings within the last month, you know, religiously. So every listing that goes out now has that. And we're finding that as soon as we call these people back, I mean, even if it's not a fit for them on that particular listing, then now we've got a new client, and it's because we followed up immediately, and it's been huge. We've had great results from it.
Explain to me what your mindset is about balance, because I know you have a religious background. I know you've studied different, you know, philosophies of that. But when someone says, I need balance in my life and my work and all my rest of it, and I can't really get it, you know, usually it's, when I hear that, it usually comes accompanied with, I'm not accomplishing what I want in life because I don't have balance. When you hear that, what does that mean to you?
Well, it's very true. It's difficult. It's something that you have to work really hard at, finding balance. I've got three kids all in different activities throughout the day. My family becomes number one out of anything, out of real estate, out of church. My kids and my family are number one. And so I try my best to make sure that what I'm doing every day that's income producing during the day is allowing me to be free in the evenings or the weekends as much as possible to be able to be at my kids' events. Am I 100% available to do that? I'm not, and it kills me when I can't, but it's definitely a daily goal, and it's a daily struggle to make sure that you're making the most amount of your time useful during the day when they're at school or things like that. I'm also a lead worship pastor at our church, and so there's duties and responsibilities there. So it almost forces me, Tim, to maintain a daily regimen and schedule if I'm able to accomplish all those things and keep balance, which is, again, a huge challenge, probably one of my biggest challenges.
Are the demands on your life a blessing or a curse?
Oh, they're a blessing, every single one of them.
Isn't that interesting, though? But So what happens is when people are on this mythical quest for balance, which, by the way, guys, I've never seen anyone have balance before, ever. I've never come across that. You know, there's five, maybe arguably six distinct categories in life. You know, family, education, financial, health, you know, spiritual. And so you will, at different stages in your life, listeners, be focusing on different things. You know, I've known people who have been young in their 20s, and they basically have really dedicated themselves to spirituality. Well, in doing so, they set aside their focus on other aspects of their lives, you know, say, for example, financial. And I've known plenty of people who said, I'm going to double down on finances in my 20s and my 30s, and by the time I'm, you know, in my 40s or whatever, I'm going to essentially have accomplished certain financial things. Well, along the way, they neglected maybe some of the other aspects, some of the other goals. And what happens, guys, is it really is, and you have, you know, Joe has kids, you have other, you know, outside work demands. Searching for balance, it's nice, but don't make your life, don't think you're failing if you don't have some sort of mythical balance. And that's where it becomes, it goes to an extreme, and people start using, I can't find balance, and that's my excuse for not having good health or not having good relationships with God or not having a good business or not having good finances because I'm so far out of balance. The best way I've ever seen anyone, present company included, have any resemblance to having any sort of balance is to have a time block schedule and making sure that when you're doing your time block schedule, you stick to the things that are the most, you know, they're going to yield you the best results. And when you do that at the end of the day, I'm not telling you you're going to feel like you're in balance, but what I am suggesting to you, you're going to feel a lot less stressed because you'll know you've checked off all the most important boxes every day. And remember, guys, most days, like 99.9% of the time, you're not going to feel like doing the things that you put on your schedule. You're just not going to feel like doing it. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. The more you get in the habit of doing things that you don't want to do when you don't want to do them at the highest level, you will be stunned and amazed how quickly you build momentum in other aspects. I very rarely feel like exercising. I do it every day, and I'm glad I do. Everything works the same way, guys. Stop looking for this emotional, mythical, I feel motivated, I found my big why type thing. That's just, and I'm really drilling down on that in the radio lately, guys, because I know there's a lot of convention speakers and gurus who've been preaching that crap again lately, and I don't want it adversely affecting your guys' ability to get the most out of your business and personal life. So moving forward, Joe, what are you looking forward to? What are your goals? What are your, you know, what are the things that's really driving you right now for like the next 12 months? Because you've already got huge momentum. I'm 100% confident you'll continue your momentum. What is it that you're looking forward to? Why are you working so hard?
Well, I feel like I definitely, a year into it, I've been a real estate agent for 2 years, but really, honestly, just want for one. And I feel like I've got so much more to learn, so much more to accomplish, and so many more things to implement that I'm looking forward to the results of those things that I have yet to implement that I'm still going to learn in the next 12 months and implement to grow my business. Deciding whether or not to be a team, to build a team, yes or no. I mean, that's the million-dollar question. Or just continue to focus on the success for me and my real estate business and my family directly. And, you know, there's some tangible things that we look forward in life. Everybody wants to have that house paid off, or everybody wants to begin to invest, you know, or not everybody. I do. I have a desire and a passion to invest in real estate and have a minor construction background. And I look forward to investing a lot of my results and fruits into the future so it can grow, so I can have something to leave behind for my kids. And it starts now. It doesn't start tomorrow. It doesn't start down the road. It has to start now. And those are some of the things that I look forward to continuing to do and achieve for.
And I know you're using the Real Estate Treasure Map, our business plan. And, guys, if you don't have that, it's not yet. Well, I assume you are because you're with Coach Rochelle, and I know she knows to use that for all of her clients. But, guys, listen, if you don't have the Real Estate Treasure Map, if you're not using that, it is a book. You can buy it off Amazon. It would be great if you would, but I'll tell you what, I'll make it easy on you. I'll just give it to you. So you get the Real Estate Treasure Map. You get Think and Grow Rich for Real Estate. You get your 12-month lead generation plan. There's like two or three others as well. Just by completing the form that's on your if you're on your desktop, just scroll down. If you're on your mobile, just complete it. Name, email, address, phone number, and you will be automatically emailed those books. And when you do, you're also going to get a call back from someone from our new client enrollment team, and they're going to let you know about the coaching program. And remember, guys, when you use the coaching program's it's basically a student approval program. The payment is only $99 a month. Now, this is a real live coaching program. You get a real live coach. You get a total, actually, we're about to enhance the program. You get a total of 8 coaching calls a month, plus a private one-on-one coaching call. In addition to that, you get all the stuff that's part of the coaching program, the pre-listing pack, the listing presentation, the scripts, everything. There's nothing else like that, like what we're offering out there. Nobody even comes close to offering that level of direct contact with your coach in addition to all the done-for-you content that you need to build your real estate practice. Well, Joe, this is actually a good pivot. What has coaching meant to you? I mean, just strictly from the numbers, it looks like it's meant a lot, but in your own words, what has it meant to you?
Accountability is the biggest word that comes to mind. Knowing that I've got a weekly call with Rochelle, that if the things we talked about last week I haven't touched on or reached, then I know she's going to kick my butt, and I need that. And because when you go into business for yourself, you don't have that boss looking over your shoulder and holding you accountable, and that's probably going into work for myself. The coaching has been so instrumental in just holding me accountable, showing me new things, new ways of doing business, not having to recreate the wheel, spend so much time on building my website or spending time on social media, all the things that I used to think were important. Well, now learning that those things are not money-making times to be spending. And so that's probably been the biggest thing, and just knowing that there's new things to implement and try and get feedback from my coach on that weekly.
And as you know, Rochelle has actually been with Julie and I for a long time. Even before we were coaches, she actually worked with us in our real estate practice. And like all of our coaches, Rochelle actually has a real estate license like Julie and I, and we actually sold real estate. And so when you guys are going through these different phases in your careers, we've been there, done that so many times, we can get you to where you want to get. So, Joe, I really sincerely appreciate you being my co-host today. For all those folks out there that want to send referrals to you, you say North Texas, give them a kind of an idea of how big of a swath of area that is, and then let them know how they can reach out to you to send you some referrals.
Absolutely. So North Texas ranges, if you've heard of Dallas-Fort Worth, it's a 100-mile radius, but we really focus on the north part of Dallas-Fort Worth. And you can reach me at 972-834-6442 or joe@themcalebgroup.com.
Give your phone number again, would you?
Sure. It's 972-834-6442.
So inside the Dallas area, we have a ton of coaching clients. Is that how far into Dallas? You work all of Dallas?
I work at all of Dallas and North Tarrant County, which is North Fort Worth, so all the way across the north part of both sides of the Metroplex. So yeah, from North Dallas to North Dallas is my biggest area to market though.
Perfect, Joe. Hey man, really appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
And listeners, listen, the fact is that success in anything, real estate included, obviously, it's not some big mystical have to figure out how to, you know, do much. You just follow the path that other people have already worn into the ground. Just follow the path. Do what they did. Don't waste time trying to recreate the wheel. Look, we're not telling you guys just to be zombies, just to be, you know, mechanical, unfeeling, unemotional machines that are just spurting out words. We want you to take the system. We want you to internalize it. And then we want you to personalize it. That's really the important part. You know, Joe's up in a part of the country where they say y'all, and they do other things like that. And so if he's reading our script like we'd written it, so, you know, he's not going to get very far. People are going to say, this guy's not from around here. So take the content, make it yours. And then what's going to happen is after you've reached that point of where you've internalized it, you personalized it, then what's going to happen is you're going to all of a sudden the content's going to be yours. And when you go meet with the seller and you're presenting the pre-listing pack or you're pre-qualifying a buyer or you're doing all these other things, man, it's just going to flow naturally. And when that happens, it's magical because you don't, you know, you get to the point where you don't really have to think about what you're going to say next. Mm-hmm. And whatever comes out of your mouth is just good. I'm looking forward to you getting to that point, Joe. I bet you're already there at some points in sub-level.
It's so true. It is so true, and doing those things, it's taken a while, but after you do it after a while, man, it just becomes second nature, like you said, and it becomes who you are, and the people can see the real you versus the robot you.
You know, the other thing, too, that's kind of fun about all this when you're following a system like this is it doesn't take too long because you've like, you know, by the way, Mr. Seller, which house in the neighborhood are you thinking about selling when you're calling a buyer lead back, you know, the fourth question?
Right.
Well, you might change that ever so slightly, but after a while, you actually might change it so it's better the script. And sometimes we get some of our best suggestions for script changes from listening to what you guys have come up with. So we're always evolving, changing as well. So listen, Joe, I really appreciate your time on the radio today. Guys, listen, as always, if you ever want to reach out to Jules and I, if you have any suggested guests, if you have anything, any topics, anything whatsoever, email me directly, tim@timandjulieharris.com or julie@timandjulieharris.com. Listeners, we are, as far as I know, the number one listened to radio show podcast specifically for realtors. You know, realtors, office managers, brokers. That is what we focus on. That is where, you know, really that's where we do our best work. And we're number one because of you guys. We're number one because you listen, you like what you hear, you let other agents know about it. Please help us to continue to do so we can continue to provide this radio show every single day. You guys email us, you say that we've become a part of your daily routine. Well, guess what? You've become a part of our daily lives as well. Anything at any time we can ever do for you, please reach out. Joe and everyone else, have a fantastic day, and we'll talk with you on the radio tomorrow.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows. And until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.